All right, this morning I want to talk about this mentality of me first. And of course, this permeated our society for many years. It has been going on, and it's basically taught. Take care of yourself, don't worry about anybody else, is basically the mantra of practically every living human being. And it's always me first, as long as I get what I want. And that's what we see. See, as Jesus went about his earthly ministry, people wanted to follow him, and they were invited by him. Yet some desired to do so on their own terms. That's what we found in our scripture reading. Well, I'll go with you, but... Now, how many times do we say that? When Jesus says, follow me, I'll go with you, but... Give me a little time. Give me a few years so I can sow my wild oats, and then I'll come to you and serve you the rest of my life. Or give me time to do what I want to do, or I'll serve you, but really, anything more than maybe Sunday morning is just too much for me to bear. And so some people desire to do so on their own terms. And so, as we saw in our scripture reading, let me go and bury my father. And Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Let me tell my friends goodbye. Let me tell everybody goodbye. See, this me first mentality was fundamentally opposed to Jesus' concept of following him. See, when we're supposed to follow Jesus, that means you don't follow yourself. And that kind of is opposed to the me first mentality. Me first mentality is always me, I, what I want, and selfishness is what that is. So Jesus demanded the one deny himself and follow him. Back in verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, we must deny ourselves. And he required that one hate his own life also. Over in Luke 14:26, he said one has to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Jesus. And you cannot allow any family to be more important. We had a lesson on that not too long ago. And so we're living in a culture that praises putting self first and then looking out for good old number one. And that's the culture we live in. No matter who it is, no matter where they are, that's what our culture is conditioning everybody. You take care of yourself and you don't need to care about anybody else. And we see the evidence and the result of that mentality. In fact, we see all these people doing things for themselves and not helping anybody else along. So it's easy for Christians to adopt this me first mentality. It really is, because it surrounds us. It permeates everything we do and see. It's permeated by this mentality. And so we're going to consider some ways we can be guilty of the me first mentality. In our attendance, we sometimes look at that. The scriptures reveal the example and value of assembling together with other Christians. They met daily from house to house there in Acts 2:42. They gathered on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20 verse 7. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the Hebrew writer said in 10:25. And so, yet many will often put personal interest before opportunities to attend services. I mean, we know it's the right thing to do. James 4:17, he that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It is right to gather with the saints and worship God. But yet often people choose, well, there's something more important right now. You know, recreational outings. Maybe I want to go to the ball game. And so I'll miss services for one ball game. And then next week, I'll miss services for one ball game. And the next week, I'll miss services for one ball game. What's that going to hurt? Well, guess what? You've already missed services 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, it's going to hurt your soul. So yes, or got to go camping. Got to go up in the hills. Going to go hunting. Or we're going to go fishing. And there's no church up there. Sometimes family gatherings, get-togethers. Sometimes family reunions are nice to have. Nice to see family sometimes. But we can't let that interfere with our worship to God. And then some people decide elective work or school-related activities can get in the way. We have choir rehearsal. We have a play rehearsal. We have overtime offered on Sunday. Whoever wants some overtime on Sunday. And I've watched people do this. People who wear the name Christ. They go to church, or at least they showed up at church from time to time. But then every time the opportunity to make more money came along, guess what they were doing? Well, I'll miss church this one time. And every time they say, well, I'll miss church this one time, I'll be back next week, I'll be back next week, I'll be back next week. And guess what? They're never back. So maybe staying home to read or watch TV. That seems to be a big one, right? The ball game's on. We don't want to miss our beloved ball team. I mean, and let's face it, a lot of people, they can tell you the stats of every player on the club. They can tell you in football how many yards they run, how many interceptions they made, how many passes they completed, how long they've been playing, and where they graduated from. They can do a lot of the same things with baseball, talk about their averages, their scoring ability, their RBIs, and things like that. Or if they're pitching, how many strikeouts they get. I mean, people know all these stats. But when it comes to the Bible, even a basic, simple question, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy sometimes. See, haphazard attendance is a sign of the me first mentality. See, we can talk about the me first mentality in our contribution. See, Christians are instructed to give of their prosperity to meet certain needs. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as we read there in 1 Corinthians 6, I thought I'd change that. It should be Corinthians, not Corinthians. Okay, never mind. But anyway, we're supposed to get on the first day of the week, lay by in store. And then 2 Corinthians 9, we talk about this. God loves a cheerful giver. We should give as we purpose in our hearts, not under compulsion. And that's the way it should be. But yet many will give sparingly because, well, they want to spend as much as possible on things for themselves. They get paid on Friday. They go to the bank, get their money out, and then they go party. They go have fun. They go buy pizza. They go out to eat. They go to Red Lobster. They go to restaurants. They go to the movies. They go to the ball game, which would cost them hundreds of dollars anyway. And then Sunday morning, they reach in their pocket when the plate is passed, and what do they got left? If they still have $5, well, I'll go ahead and give all that I have. I mean that's a mentality that they didn't plan on this stuff. We're supposed to purpose in our hearts. And they had failed to properly budget their contribution to the Lord. Normally, some people who really sit down, okay, a few days before, a week before, I'm going to make this amount out to the Lord. And you're going to plan on it. And if that means I don't get to go to the ball game this week, well, what's more important? Well, yes, the Lord is more important. See, these people are burdened with bills for things that are not necessities. A lot of people just like to buy things. And it actually becomes a luxury for them. But yet, having enough money to put in the collection plate, you know, some people, I mean, if they can put $1 or $2 in there, they're going to feel, well, I've done my duty to God. And then, so there's negligent giving of our prosperity is a sign of the me first mentality. We should have this planned out. Then the me first mentality in our service to one another. And here's where it really suffers. See, God has blessed each of us with gifts to serve one another. depending on what gifts we have, serve one another. Romans 12, 3 through 8 talks about our relationship with each other, how we're all part of one another. And we're commanded to serve one another. And then so all of the service that we do for each other is to be done as if to the Lord. You know, 1 Peter 4 and 11. So then everything that God may be glorified. And so it's whatever we do that God be glorified. And the best way to do that is to be helping others. Yet many make little effort to do their part in the work of the local church, in the local congregation. Few people put forth any effort at all. And so they do not learn the names of the other members. I mean, I've been in parts of congregations when all you can say, that lady or that man over there. And you've been going to church together for how long? I mean, I saw this once in a congregation in Texas. Apparently, they'd both been going to the same church for 20 years, and they didn't know each other except for that woman or that man. They didn't even know their names. And so, they do not seek to find their gift or ability that God has given them. We are to use our gifts to serve one another, to help one another. And so if we don't find out what is that, what ability do I have to help my brother? I mean, it may be nothing more than just a word of encouragement. I mean, God bless you, brother. I hope you're doing good. I mean, just that much is so little, but yet it can mean so much. And a lot of times we don't do that. And so we don't seek to find out if I have any ability that can help someone else in their growth and their walk with God. And so we don't seek to find those things. Okay. Sometimes men do not attend the business meetings. And we've seen that here. We announce ahead of time, men, we're going to have a business meeting after services. We get in there, 3, 4, 5 men who were in the assembly are not there. I mean, what does that say? Do they really even care about what goes on? A lot of men and women do not teach classes. This has been a problem in several places I've been to. That's one of the complaints. Well, nobody else will teach class. And they really get upset about that. And so, really, they may attend church, but only to receive, not to give of themselves. See, the lack of involvement in the local church is a sign of the me first mentality. All right, the me first mentality in our family relationships. See, Christians have duties to members of their physical family. Yes, we're to support and to love them and take care of them and to honor them. And husbands to love their wives, wives to love their husbands. And that is so important. And then, of course, many families suffer when people seek their own interest above another. And believe me, that's the number one cause of divorce, is selfishness on the part of one or both. And so when husbands and wives are selfish in their dealings with each other, I mean, that's definitely a problem. And so when parents divide without regard to the impact on their children, and when children fail to honor and obey their parents, see, dysfunctional families abound where the me-first mentality exists. And anybody who has a family that they consider dysfunctional, you're going to see, yeah, it's what I want. No matter who, whether it's the kids, whether it's the parents, it's always me. Nobody ever thinks about me. All right. So this me first mentality, see, our service to the Lord, His church, and our families is greatly hindered by the me first mentality. And it is detrimental to our souls. See, those souls around us, it's detrimental to them also. And so how much better for us to learn and to practice another type of mentality? What God wants from us. Let's see what that is. The others first principle or mentality, however you want to say it. Putting others first. See, it was exemplified by Christ. He could have considered himself, he could have saved himself, he could have avoided the cross, but he didn't do it. He chose to die for you and me. See, he came to this earth because he put others first. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Then Matthew 20 and verse 28, "He came not to seek his own, but to seek and save that which was lost." And so he came to put others first. And of course, he is our perfect example. And so we should be doing that. We are called upon to adorn the same mind or attitude. When we read there in Philippians 2, beginning verse 3, about the fact that we're to consider others as more important than ourselves, not to let our haughty mind lead us into the pride that is associated with it. And he says there in verse 5, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we don't do anything from selfish ambition or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, we esteem others better than ourselves, and we look for the interest of others. And so Jesus exemplified the principle of others first, that he desired us as well. He wants us to have the same thing. All right. The other's first principle as exemplified by the Macedonians. Paul wrote about them in 1 Corinthians 8, 1-4. Says, "Their great hospitality, despite their own poverty, they gave, even though they didn't have a lot of money, they gave to support the preaching of the gospel by the Apostle Paul." And Paul recognized that. And that's why they were able to be so gracious in thinking of others first, because they had the right attitude. Back in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8, "And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." So, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to others. The mentality of Lord first instead of me first enabled them to put others first. So their liberality continued in supporting Paul to preach the gospel. Paul recognized that in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 18. So putting God and others first ensured that their needs would be met. Because Paul said there in Philippians 4, 19, this is for their benefit. They're going to be rewarded for this. They're giving of themselves. They're giving their money to Paul so the gospel can be preached. They're going to be taken care of. Now, that's not saying we want to go along with that wealth doctrine out there. You give 10,000 to the Lord, you'll get 10,000 back, which is a big lie. I mean, that's not the case. But if we're going to help someone else, then somewhere down the road, we may need it. Have we ever been in that position? Some of us have. I mean, when I was younger, there were times we wondered, how were you going to eat? Some Christian family came along and said, "Hey, we brought you some food." Wow, that was good. But yet, that also served as an example. We try and continue to do that every chance we get to help others. So, your question is, do we have the me first mentality? Is it always my way that has to be done? Is it always what I want? And let's face it, honestly, the answer is yeah. It's what I want. If I turn on the TV, I don't want to watch CNN. I don't want to watch Fox. I don't want to watch MSN. I don't want to watch any news channels. Guess what? I've got hundreds of other channels to choose from if I choose to do that. I mean, so we do have choices in this world. And so if it's always what I want, yeah. See, if we have that me first mentality, we cannot be Jesus' disciple, because we are elevating someone above the rank of Jesus. And that, in this case, would be me. I am more important than Jesus. That's not something anybody should be saying. So if we do, the church and our own spiritual lives will suffer. If we put ourselves first, everything around us is going to suffer. All other Christians, they're going to suffer because of that, because we're not considering them. We're just looking out for good old number one. And the church is going to suffer. And so, do we want to be rid of the me first mentality? Well, hopefully we should say, yes, we do. So the me first mentality will be destroyed when we adopt the others first principle. And that's what we need to focus on. That's why we talk about it. That's why it's called the second greatest command. First greatest command, God first. Second greatest command, others. Go in there. It's like that acronym of JOY. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I mean, that's the formula for true success, and the formula for our whole life is what we should do. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. See, the others first principle will be developed as we make the kingdom of God first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Of course, the righteousness of God, in that righteousness, He teaches us. Put others first. Put others as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Philippians 2 and verse 4. All right, so when we truly put the kingdom of God and others before ourselves, the Lord will see to it that we have the things that we need. That's how we need to look at it. We'll have those things that we need. So that's our lesson. Very simple lesson. Take that with you and consider that. And consider why the me first mentality is so dangerous. And we don't need to be involved in that. We need to be thinking about others as more important than ourselves. So consider those thoughts. We're going to offer the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.